AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Lots to cover on today's show. Lots of news in the NBA, NFL, of course, huge games coming up in Major League Baseball. Lots of fantasy football to discuss. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, 2 hours of fantasy sports talk. Davis, like a crazy night last night, certainly in the NFL. One of the wackiest games we've seen all season with the Ravens rallying to win over the Indianapolis Colts. We had John Gruden, coach, and probably what will end up being his final game in the NFL would be a guess. And then this morning we get the news that the NBA has some big news too. Will Kyrie Irving be draftable in fantasy basketball this season? I'm not so sure. So lots to get to on the show today.
Yeah, we basically have controversies in a bunch of major sports. We had a great game being played last night, and you know, we have another week of football to look forward to, right? We wrap up week 5 and we're already 48 hours away from Buccaneers Eagles on Thursday night. We got to talk about, you know, we got waiver wire stuff to think about. We got guys who are injured. This really kind of is the time of year where it never stops. You know, I remember back in June, we were talking about everything not stopping, but when hockey, basketball, football, and baseball playoffs are all happening, it's just like, how do you even keep up?
Yeah, no, it's almost impossible. And NBA, of course, starting up here very soon. The NHL season begins tonight. George Kurtz is going to join us a little bit later in the show. We'll give you our first DFS preview of the season. That's in about an hour from now here on Fantasy Sports Today. Here are our headlines here on the show. John Gruden emails over the last 10 years uncovered with some, defamatory things that were said, no question about that, and ended up costing him his job. He's resigned as the Raiders head coach. We'll see what that means for them in the future and how things certainly change. The Ravens come back down 19 points to win in overtime. It was one of the biggest comebacks in the history of Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson was fantastic. They end up beating the Colts by 6 in overtime, not covering. The Red Sox advance to the American League Championship Series, defeating the Tampa Bay Rays. The Braves take a 2-1 series lead in their series, and they play again today. The Braves have Charlie Morton on the mound. They can end up winning and going to the National League Championship. Ben Simmons is back in Philadelphia. He's waiting for COVID protocols. Bad news for Trey Lance, sprained left knee. Looks like it could cost him a week, although they are off this week, so we certainly don't know. That'll be a big part of our conversation, no doubt, next week. And then, Davis, we found out this morning that the Nets have essentially told Kyrie Irving that he is not welcome, at least for the time being. And I wonder what this means for the Nets and what it means for fantasy, and certainly who the beneficiary on the Nets could be, because they still have a pretty good team without him.
They do still have a pretty good team without him. And I think that the markets were kind of anticipating this in terms of like the fantasy basketball beneficiary. obviously, I mean, James Harden now. I think James Harden and Kevin Durant, you know, pretty clearly, both first round picks in your fantasy basketball drafts. Patty Mills, I would imagine, is probably going to be a starter. They might start Joe Harris and Bruce Brown instead. Bruce Brown was, you know, cast off from the Detroit Pistons and then thrust into a huge role for the Brooklyn Nets last year. I got to say, though, I mean, for me, the Nets should still probably be the favorite, Kyrie Irving or no Kyrie Irving, because this is one of the things where I see it playing out where Kyrie is, like, you know, doing his whole thing and he sits out and then he sees that the Nets are the, you know, the favorites for the championship. And, like, Kyrie doesn't want to miss out on the championship. Kyrie does not want to be, you know, away from the facility, away from the building, and watch James Harden and Kevin Durant hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. So I bet, if I was a betting man, I would say that Kyrie probably does fulfill the local health regulations and end up getting vaccinated at some point. That would be my guess.
Yeah, very, very curious, especially on a team that's that good, with the Nets essentially favored to win the championship. All right, now to baseball here for a minute. And Davis, we're going to talk plenty of Ravens last night with that unbelievable comeback coming up next. But the dastardly Boston Red Sox, who, I mean, I think in 2021, when it's all said and done, I think the Red Sox will be the team that I am most wrong on, maybe the most wrong subject on I am in 2021. I mean, that's a fact at this point. Davis, they win walk-offs two games in a row against the Tampa Bay Rays, and now they're just four wins away from the World Series as they await the winner of Houston and Chicago, and that could end later today.
It could end later today. It's been a crazy series. I mean, you know, pretty much every game has had drama, right? We had the drama with the ball. Oh, should it be a ground rule double? Should it not? Should the runner advance? Is that ball in play? Is it not in play? You know, I love to hate the Boston Red Sox. I don't like the Boston Red Sox at all. I would prefer the Rays to be winning this series. The series that's more interesting to me is the Giants-Dodgers that we have going on tonight, because the Dodgers losing in the divisional round, I mean, that is it's a lot of money spent on an early playoff exit.
Yeah, it could be. Giants are playing great. The weather definitely a factor for sure in last night's game, especially when Gavin Lux thought he hit a home run to tie it, and it was not the case. Weather in L.A., you never would figure that, but they'll play again tonight. Giants could be headed toward the National League Championship if they could capture this win. We'll let you know what happens, talk a little preview a little bit later in the show. We'll do some DM.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
FS action, but coming up next is one of the biggest comebacks ever on Monday Night Football, led by Lamar Jackson, arguably one of his greatest games ever, probably his greatest game ever. We'll talk about that next. A lot of people down 40 points going into Monday Night Football with one guy. It was Lamar Jackson, and you ended up winning that game. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Classic Monday Night Football game going on in the NFL last night, where the Indianapolis Colts had a 19-point lead erased by the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Fortunately for Colts backers last night, in overtime, you get that +7. Ravens with no real chance to cover in this game, and sluggish from the very beginning as Jonathan Taylor put them on the board. They continue to press, but in the end, Lamar Jackson was just too much. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from the game yesterday. And these numbers for Lamar Jackson are out of this world. 37 of 43, 442 passing yards, 62 rushing yards, and 4 touchdowns, mostly all in the second half. No running game whatsoever for Baltimore, that's for sure. Latavius Murray, just 17 yards. Tyson Williams, not much either. Marquise Brown, another strong game for him. 9 catches, 125 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Mark Andrews dialed it back to 2019. Look at these numbers. 11 catches, 147 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Again, most of the damage coming in the second half. It was a performance for the ages for Lamar Jackson and for the Ravens, and the head coach John Harbaugh talked about how great Lamar was last night.
It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen, you know, and it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't like we came out just you know, up and down the field. We had to overcome and fight through some things. He was under pressure. He created plays with his feet, threw the ball away when he had to throw it away. Then once we started going, and, you know, when we were in that situation you're talking about, Jamison, we went into our fast mode, no huddle, 2-minute type mode. He just came alive, and all of our guys did. I mean, all the guys who made plays, you know, in the offensive line. But it starts with Lamar, and he deserves the credit.
Such a bizarre game last night. I mean, for the Colts to go up like they did on the Ravens, and the Ravens having to come all the way back and nearly even cover that game, I mean, just a strange set of circumstances there, Davis. And we'll get to the Colts here in a minute, but let's start with the Ravens here. I mean, that probably, outside of Lamar Jackson's performance in week one a couple of years ago against the Dolphins, where I think he threw 4 or 5 touchdown passes and ran one in two, and they won like 50-10. Outside of that, I mean, last night, from a fantasy perspective, when people are waking up, I'm seeing tweets with them having 45, 50 points. I mean, that's just huge.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think this was Lamar's career best game. He'd never thrown for more than 325 yards before. He threw for 442 last night. He completed 86% of his passes. You know, obviously that is, that's absolutely insane. You know, he also, of course, you know, went crazy on the ground in this game, 14 rushing attempts for 62 yards. I think Lamar is the MVP right now. The Ravens could be 2-3. They could be 5-0. You know, remember that Monday night game against the Las Vegas Raiders? Could have won that game, could have lost to the Chiefs, could have lost to the Lions, but they end up pulling it out. I think mostly because of Lamar Jackson. He leads the NFL in yards per carry with players over at least 50 carries, completing 67% of his passes, best quarterback rating of his career, best QBR of his career. I mean, he's been unbelievable. And his fantasy numbers were actually kind of trailing because he hadn't scored a ton of touchdowns yet. And, you know, obviously that all reverses last night with the 2 touchdown passes to Hollywood Brown and 2 to Mark Andrews.
Yeah, great game for sure. And it will be a fun MVP race with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I'm guessing he's the favorite right now. And Kyler Murray has to be in that conversation too. And so this could shift around. I remember this time last year, Russell Wilson was the favorite to win the NFL MVP, believe it or not. And that shifted pretty quickly too. All right, let's go to the Indianapolis Colts. They take a really tough loss there yesterday. And Carson Wentz at least had his best game of the season, throwing for over 400 yards. Jonathan Taylor off to a great start with a long touchdown, put together a great fantasy night too, almost fantasy 40 points from him. Michael Pittman with a nice game. Also Paris Campbell, a decent contribution there. Pittman in particular played pretty well. So, I mean, look, it's one of those things, Davis, where in order to have a collapse of this magnitude, you have to have a player of elite caliber take you down on the other side, which is what happened for the Colts. But they did cover, you know. I mean, they did cover. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I would think, but listen, I mean, the NFL is just so wacky and every game's coming down to the fourth quarter. I would think this would crush the Colts. Like, to me, like, after a loss like this, I don't know how you come back. But it's been a wacky year, and who am I to say that? I mean, I thought Baltimore would crush them last night. It was not nowhere close to that happening.
Yeah, I mean, the Jonathan Taylor touchdown that began the game, you could say, you know, perhaps that was a little fluky. Also, weirdly enough, you know, Nyheim Hines had been this really good fantasy asset for the first month of the season. I needed 2.7 points from Nyheim Hines last night to win a main event contest. It was coming down to that. I just needed 2.7. Nyheim Hines did not get 2.7, so that's my bad beat story from last night. I think you could argue in a way, though, Craig, might have been in the best interest for the Colts to lose that game, and here's why. The language in that trade they did with the Philadelphia Eagles means that if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the team's snaps or more, they owe the Eagles a first-round pick instead of a second-round pick. Their playoff odds from losing that game went to 38% with a win, 19% with a loss. Right now the Baltimore Ravens are 1-4, though technically that makes them second in that division because that division is so bad, right? Titans, no good. The Texans, certainly no good. Just a really bad division. But I would think sitting Carson Wentz is probably the right direction for them to go in a franchise if they lose one or two or three more games, because giving up a first-round pick to like maybe win 8 games or something this season, I don't think that's a justifiable decision.
You know, it's interesting that is the case. Boy, Philly would be in a great spot. I think they have Miami's pick too, if I'm not mistaken, in the first round, and their own. So, wow, if Philadelphia comes out of this season like halfway decent, they could be a player next year. Is there precedent for that though, Davis? Like, is there precedent for, especially if, look, forget 400 yards last night, but if Wentz plays okay, is there precedent for a team benching their starter just to make sure they don't give up the pick? Because I don't recall it. I'm sure it's happened before. And I know that Indy has been through this before, losing every single game of the season. They did not bring Peyton Manning back at the end of the year that one year to get Andrew Luck. I get that. But if he's playing okay, that's a tough sell.
It is a tough sell. I think that's one of those decisions where the coaching staff and the front office would be at odds, because Frank Reich and the coaching staff would be like, how can I look my guys in the face and say, we're doing this for football reasons? You know, we're putting Jacob Eason in for football reasons. I think it would be a more extreme example of what we saw with the Miami Dolphins last year down in your neck of the woods. Remember, you know, all that controversy between Tua and Fitzpatrick. I believe they had a winning record when they went to Tua. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Tua had a winning record as a starter. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would just kind of be one of those things where it's like, I don't know, I gotta look my guys in the face and say, we are doing this decision with the quarterback not to win games right now, but to maybe help the organization, you know, to help a bunch of guys keep their jobs up in the suites and the press boxes. These guys want to keep their jobs. So we're going to make you guys who are actually putting your bodies on the line in the field, we're going to put you guys in a worse position. Like, I just feel like that's really hard messaging for the coaching staff. But I would bet they do that, though. I would bet if they're...
Yeah, I would bet the opposite. I would bet the opposite. I don't think that they could do that. I mean, I don't know how strong the NFL's union is as opposed to baseball. You cannot do that in baseball. You can't just sit guys for sitting them. Maybe you can in the NFL, and I'm going to have to go back and check precedent for this. But I got to tell you, even if the Colts are 3-10 and Wentz is playing well and he's not hurt, I'm going to have to disagree. I mean, you may be right in the end, and they may do it, but I'm going to guess against that. I can't see it. I don't recall that happening. These things do tend to take care of themselves, and Wentz throws 4 picks one game. It's an easy out, and then there you go, and we'll wink, wink, and nod, nod, and understand what's going on there. But if he's playing well, boy, I don't know, man. That's a tough sell for me, especially with the way he played last night. All right, waiver wire targets in fantasy football. We'll knock them out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you're following us on social media, on Twitter, at SportsGrid, and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, picks, information, fantasy advice from all of our shows here on SportsGrid, whether it is the Early Line, the Morning After, all of our great shows. Follow us, of course, on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, let's get to the fantasy football waiver wire. And Davis, a lot of people have to make decisions usually on this Wednesday or Thursday, so we're giving you a little bit of an edge here on the decisions to make. And for the first time, Davis, in a while, it does feel like an active waiver wire this week. And of course, injuries are a big part of that, with Saquon Barkley going down and basically a Booker. I know in one league, Booker is out there, so everyone's going to be bidding on him this week. But I feel like this is going to be an active week ahead of us.
Yeah, I feel like their injuries, opened up a lot of stuff. We have, Juju Smith-Schuster injured for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, we got some James Washington. Maybe you're picking up Eric Ebron or whatever there. But there were just lots of guys who kind of performed above expectations this last week. We had lots of injuries. I was thinking about this morning while thinking about the show. Probably at the end of the year, it will just be that, injuries in the NFL are the same as they've ever been. The positional injury rate's about the same as they've ever been. But it feels like a significant number of the injuries are happening to fantasy football relevant players. Like, it feels like pretty much every fantasy football team, I would be very surprised if you've escaped, one major injury. Like, if you have a team where your first 10 draft picks, none of them have gotten injured, I would be like, I think if we just went through ADP, we'd be like, yeah, well, he got hurt, and Ayuk, he got benched. Like, I feel like it's kind of been landmines out there in fantasy football this year.
Yeah, very tough for sure. Let's take a look at some potential targets this week. And of course, with the issues Damian Harris is having holding on to the football, maybe Ramondre Stevenson is next up in Dallas at running back. We haven't seen much out of him, but did play a little bit last week also. Harris a little banged up. Khalil Herbert looked really good for the Bears against the Green Bay Packers this week. Kadarius Toney, we're going to spend some time talking about him for the Giants against the Rams. Hopefully Daniel Jones plays. Maybe even if he doesn't, does it really matter? Deontay Harris had that long touchdown last week. Saints are off this week, so not sure that he's a viable option, but a decent pickup for the future. And then Tommy Tremble, we keep seeing him get involved in this offense. And so Tremble at tight end could be a possibility there. So, Davis, let's kind of dive in here a little bit to some of these names as a possibility. And it does feel like there are some decent options here this week.
Feels like there are a ton of options. So specifically on Ramondre, he, I think, is probably the number one add of the week. Damian Harris not only fumbled and got benched for that fumble, but also after the game, it was reported that he had a chest injury and that he was having trouble breathing. So, you never want to be playing, football while you're having trouble breathing. I would guess that he will probably get like a chest x-ray or an MRI done today or tomorrow. We'll find out if that's a more serious injury. Ramondre played 22 snaps against Houston, 11 carries for 23 yards. He was getting carries on the final drive that they went to go kick the field goal to put them up. So, I think that Belichick was showing a little bit of trust in him. J.J. Taylor and him basically switched spots. So J.J. Taylor went back on the game day inactive list. Stevenson was activated as a result. Was not used in the passing game at all. No targets, but I think that there's not really anything keeping Ramondre from filling that role that Damian Harris had been in, kind of as the primary lead back. And so now if they're down Damian Harris and James White, I don't think you want to be playing 31-year-old Brandon Bolden on a ton of snaps. So I would think Ramondre is going to be the lead guy. So he definitely, for me, is the number one waiver out of the week. And I would feel comfortable spending, 25, 30% on him.
Yeah, and again, the players that are playing this week, I mean, availability is so much a part of this, which is why Harris, to me, isn't as appealing if you need a receiver, because, again, he may just slip through and then you can pick him up again next week. And so, certainly Herbert there, if he gets more opportunities with Chicago, although Damian Harris is the lead guy. But look, the bottom line is that the Giants at this point, we're still going to have to wait and see what happens with Mike Lennon or Daniel Jones. Kenny Golladay has not been able to stay healthy in years, Davis, so counting on that's almost impossible. And then you have that Shepard-Slayton duo I mean, those guys are good, but they're not great. And look, we did a lot of shows. I was with you here. I'm a Gator.
I was wrong, buddy.
Yeah, I did not take Kadarius Toney either in any fantasy league. I just didn't do it. And listen, a lot of the guys that we talked about are the ones that are on my team. But I saw Toney play at Florida. I thought he'd be a good gadget guy. I don't think Davis, honestly, the Giants knew how good he was until they saw that game last week. But now, I mean, that arrow has got to be pointing massively up, and especially if Galladay is out for the season. And Davis, especially if these Giants executives and coaches are fighting for their job the rest of the way, if Toney stays healthy, my gosh, I mean, he is going to be a major target the rest of the season.
He is. He is going to be an absolutely major target. I mean, I think that was, if I remember my fact correctly, I believe that was the fourth best rookie wide receiver game ever in terms of raw receiving yardage. And it sounds like Kenny Galladay is going to be out for multiple weeks. At least he hyperextended his knee. It does sound like Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard are a little bit closer to returning, but you don't put the genie back in the bottle, right? You don't watch the guy go for 10 and 189 and then go, you know what? We got to see what Sterling Shepard has left in the tank. Like, Sterling Shepard's been in the NFL, I think, 6 years now. Darius Slayton is on year three. Like Kadarius Toney is going to be the featured wide receiver. I think even Jason Garrett can figure that out. You know, Jason Garrett can't really figure much of anything out, but I bet he can figure out that Kadarius Toney gets the ball. And I guess I should also amend what I was just saying about Ramondre Stevenson. So I am under the assumption that Devontae Booker is owned in a lot of leagues. Like, I was looking this morning, and Devontae Booker is not a free agent in any of my leagues. But of course, if Devontae Booker is out there in your league, he is the top waiver wire ad of the week. But Khalil Herbert too, by the way. I kind of grazed past him. He was actually like a super productive college player. And what they did is Damian Williams was the starting running back, you know, clearly was ahead. But in games where the Bears win, I think Herbert is going to get a ton of work, because they basically completely went to him after, you know, when they were up 10 points. It was all Herbert, and he ended up being the team's leading rusher. So I think Herbert is a guy I'm throwing like 8-10% of my waiver wire budget on this week.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that if you have David Montgomery or you have Damian Williams, more so for David Montgomery, I think, owners at this point, you better be trying to grab this guy Herbert just in case for anything. I mean, that could kind of save you there if Damian doesn't work out. I'm hoping Damian does. And, you know, we talked about him. You talked about him a lot. So I drafted Damian Williams, and I'm playing Damian Williams in one of my fantasy leagues. We hit on Tommy Tremble. I want to ask you about another player, because on Sunday morning we did the fantasy show, and I threw out this guy's name, Donald Parham, because I saw him catch that touchdown on Monday night. And I got laughed at a little bit. And listen, am I still laughing here now? I mean, look, the Chargers offense.
Who should know? He's so good. Donald Parham is so good. People don't know about this, Craig?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Sunday was there, and I threw it out there just as a possibility, like in DFS, and we were just kind of chuckling about it. But listen, if the Chargers are going to score 5 touchdowns a game, right? If they're going to score 5 a game, which they're basically on pace to do at this point, I mean, I'm okay with him only catching 2 balls and a touchdown. And my eyes are telling me that this guy is going to emerge and going to be the main tight end on this team by the end of the season. And so this may be the last shot you have to pick him up. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, maybe this is not a guy to pick up. But to me, I want a piece of that offense in any way possible.
No, I definitely think that he is a guy to pick up. I mean, Parham, I'd have to go back and pull up my spreadsheet, but I'm pretty sure he was the tight end I drafted the most in best ball, because Jared Cook, 34, you know, I mean, how many times have we seen this with Jared Cook? He's going to get hurt. He is not going to play as much. And Parham's snaps have been trending up. I mean, he's mostly played about 50% of the snaps in every single game. He has a touchdown in back-to-back games. We've seen Keenan Allen's role reduce, but the most important thing for the Chargers is they do not have a third wide receiver at all, right? Jalen Guyton, Josh Palmer, none of these guys have generated any targets, have generated any useful playing time for them. And Austin Eckler is not being targeted the same way he was when, you know, Philip Rivers was the quarterback, basically. Like, it's a different role. So I think that if Parham was to get to like a 65 or 70% snap share and they kind of just mothball Jared Cook, I feel like Parham could end the year as a top 10 tight end, no problem, because Herbert is playing like an MVP. Keenan Allen is kind of coming back into what we always thought, you know, he would be, which is a very solid number two, but was always kind of miscast as a real wide receiver one. I am all over Parham. I think he is a great add this week.
Yeah, I mean, give me pieces of the great offense as opposed to the pieces that are getting a lot of playing time on the bad teams. That's what I want for sure. And the Chargers' defense has struggled too. But yes, the other name also that we just kind of glossed over, Devontae Booker, for sure. If you have to set those waiver wires tonight, Barkley is going to be out. I mean, my guess is he goes on injured reserve. So although Booker's talent isn't the best, and certainly he didn't prove anything in Denver, he's now going to get an extended opportunity as a starter with the Giants for sure. All right, plenty more to come. In fact, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at our daily fantasy sports look at the baseball postseason. We'll do that for you next right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Probably the single biggest day of the baseball season, where we have three games, all elimination games, starting at 2 o'clock Eastern, and then 5, and then we actually get the Giants and Dodgers 9 o'clock Eastern, so not terrible tonight. Maybe East Coasters can stay up for that, like myself. So, three-game slate in DFS, in all likelihood, probably the last time we see this again. So let's go ahead and dive in and see if we can help people in daily fantasy today and start off with the starting pitcher slate. Now, again, some of this can change before the games begin. We know how elimination games work, but Lance McCullers, after the rainout yesterday for Houston, is expected to now pitch today for the Astros. He's 9,000. Charlie Morton, Mr. Postseason, is getting his start today. 9,000, usually does well in these spots. Eric Lauer from Milwaukee, 8,000. Carlos Rodon goes for the White Sox. Looks like Walker Buehler is going to start today for LA, but Gonsolin is 8,300. And Anthony DeSclafani for San Francisco is 8,000 tonight on FanDuel. And after the Dodgers fell 1-0 last night, future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols was asked about the potential of a Walker Buehler excellent start tonight.
Here. Walker is throwing the ball real well all year long, you know, and I think, you know, he's going to go out there and we expect the same thing. And I think as the offense side, our job is to start to score some points beforehand and hopefully take the pressure a little bit off him. But I think he's going to do what he does all year long. You know, he's going to throw the ball pretty well. And I know he's coming out in a short rest, but I think he's going to be pretty excited. The fans are really going to be really excited. And hopefully we can push this game to game 5 in San Francisco, you know. But at the end of the day, I think our job is to come tomorrow and just try to prepare ourselves and go through our meetings, what we want to do, and do what we've been doing all year long, you know. And like I say, it's just, you know, tough loss today, but you just need to move forward.
Yeah, Davis, it's interesting tonight because it's like, I think you almost have to in DFS consider the two starting pitchers in that game. And I know it's hard because it's an elimination game and, you know, a couple of hits, Buehler's out, you don't know. Same thing with DeSclafani. But if the wind is blowing in anything like it was last night, we're going to see a repeat of this game tonight, that 1-0 game. Gavin Lux, I mean, hit that ball as hard as anybody could possibly hit it. He thought he hit a home run to tie the game. He did not. Chris Taylor thought the same thing. And this is not something that usually happens in LA. You're thinking of San Francisco in that manner. So, you know, certainly there's a lot of good pitching options there. But if I'm playing a slate, man, I would love to get a piece of a pitcher on one of those two teams at that 1-0 game yesterday.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out what's actually happening with the Dodgers, because I've read conflicting stuff. So, you know, Pujols was just talking there about our guy Walker Buehler, but then I read speculation from the Dodgers beat writers that, in fact, Buehler is going to be like the opener and Gonsolin is going to be the bulk guy. But they could also do it the other way, where, right. You know, this is something you see happen a lot in playoff games. I'll never forget Madison Bumgarner doing this to my Kansas City Royals, where I don't remember who opened that game, but Bumgarner came in, and I believe the third inning, and then ended up closing it out. But you could see Gonsolin go 2-3 innings, or maybe he gets through the order twice, then Walker Buehler comes in. You know, I think we will see something like that happen. I would imagine that if we get before the game, you know, we have a game starting here at 2 p.m. Eastern, but if we get before the game, the Dodgers come out and say Buehler is going to be the starter. He's going to go for as long as he can go, right? We're not going to pull him. He doesn't have a pitch count. He will probably be the highest owned starting pitcher of the slate. If we don't get that news, though, I would imagine that Charlie Morton is going to be the highest owned pitcher of the slate. You know, the Brewers line up lots of strikeouts there. So those would be the two guys that I would really focus in on. But I am leaving some optionality in my lineups to use Tony Gonsolin, because I think that he will be the sneakiest, right? So if we get 4 or 5 Gonsolin innings against the Giants in that ballpark, I'll be feeling pretty good about that.
It's also, as you mentioned with Morton, it's stunning how the Brewers can't score. I mean, they literally can't score a run. It's just crazy. You know, their offense, you know, certainly we knew was a little bit challenged going into the postseason, but Christian Yelich is just a shell of what he was. Maybe he's still hurt. I don't know. He didn't have a good year. It's been tough for them. And getting out of a lot of jams yesterday, Ian Anderson did, and of course, Jock Peterson, the only hit that mattered in the game, a 3-run home run. I want to get to Jock Peterson later. Okay, so let's take a look at first base and catcher. We've got Abreu of the White Sox, the highest price, $3,900. Freddie Freeman is $36. Buster Posey of the Giants is $32. Yuli Gurriel is $3,000. Will Smith is $3,000. Yasmani Grandal is $2,700. So if that is the case, are you fading that late game, or are you still interested in using a guy like Posey or Will Smith tonight?
No, I still want to use the Dodgers, I think, you know, because what have I been saying all year? That the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They have the best hitting lineup. So, you know, I am looking to use Will Smith. I'm looking to use Corey Seager. I'm looking to use Lux, like, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that the best first base catching options here actually are the Chicago White Sox guys, Abreu and Grandal. I think Freeman will be definitely the most owned hitter going up against whoever ends up getting rolled out. That's basically been the case. That's basically been the case for all of these playoff slates thus far, that when the Braves have been on the slate, Freeman has been the highest owned first baseman. So I like Abreu and Grandal, because I don't think the White Sox hitters will be that owned against McCullers.
All right, let's go over to second base here. We've got Jose Altuve at $4,100, Trey Turner, $3,900, Albies of the Braves, $38, Chris Taylor tonight against the Giants, $3,400, and then I guess you could take a shot here that the Brewers will eventually score a run, because you have Escobar at $3,000 and Colton Wong at $2,700. Again, I just am stunned, Davis, how the Brewers, who have been sort of known in the last 5 years for their offense, is just now all pitching at this point. And by the way, I guess you can't rule out. I mean, can you rule out Corbin Burns pitching today for Milwaukee if they need it? I mean, they can't lose this game. I would guess that he's a possibility to come in out of the pen.
No, you can't rule anything out. I mean, you can't rule out, you know, some random guy opening. You can't rule out a Burns Woodruff, like, you know, baton tossing, because these are, in these games, you got to do everything you can possibly do to win. You know, you have to throw everything at the wall. But, you know, it's just kind of it's interesting that these are all the teams that made the playoffs, because these are basically the three best hitting second base eligible players in fantasy baseball, right? Jose Altuve, Trey Turner, and Ozzie Albies. You know, this specific mix of teams getting in the postseason led us to these slates. I have to say, you know, the Brewers have absolutely not been able to hit, but Escobar and Wong at those prices against Charlie Morton. I mean, you know, Escobar the switch hitter, Wong the left-hander. I don't know if I have it in me to not play Colton Wong at that price. He looks really interesting.
All right, let's go to third base. Austin Riley of the Atlanta Braves leads the way, followed by Chris Bryant of the Giants. Justin Turner usually comes up big in these big games. We'll see. 3,100. Alex Bregman of Houston against the White Sox. They had the day off yesterday because of the rain, and then you can play Escobar and Yoan Moncada, just 2,800 for the White Sox. There are a lot of fans who, I don't want to say they're sour on Moncada. They just thought that he was going to be a superstar. It really has not worked out that way. But look, a lot of runs have been scored in that Houston-Chicago series. Maybe that continues today, Davis.
What you would expect, right, given the offensive environments at play. They're playing at Minute Maid, which is like kind of a neutral park, and they're playing at not U.S. Cellular, but it's always U.S. Cellular to me for the Chicago White Sox, and that's really a band box there. Austin Riley, Chris Bryant is the best straight-up hitter of anyone eligible here. Riley has that matchup that we like against Eric Lauer. You know, I was thinking that the Braves hitters were the guys that I wanted to play the most from this slate, but obviously the problem there is a combination of their prices and their their projected ownership. It's got to be Justin Turner as the best play here for me. I mean, $3,100, you know, he's a career 340 weighted on base average guy, but I will say it's a little bit of sticker shock for me to see Yoan Moncada there at 2,800, because I, like many White Sox fans, also thought that he was going to be, you know, an absolute star. And, turns out he's just a very average hitter.
Yeah, thus far over his career, for sure. All right, speaking of Houston and big games, we got Carlos Correa, 3,900 tonight at shortstop. Trey Turner is 39, and so is Seager. He's at 36. Tim Anderson against Houston, 3,600 against McCullers. Willie Adames, 3,300. He's had a great year. Not the postseason that we would have thought, but he's had a great year. And then Brandon Crawford tonight, 3,100 in San Francisco. So, we're down to the wire here with Correa. I mean, I assume that if they win today, they move on and they get to the American League Championship Series. And Correa's been not shy about talking every step of the way about his free agency and who he is. It just feels like he is rising in these big moments.
Yeah, Carlos Correa, good for him, you know. But I've already leaked my suggestion here. Corey Seager gotta be the guy for me. I mean, Anthony, you are right. We have not seen a ton of offense in these games. What it's been 4-1, 1-0, and 4-0, I think, if that is correct of the three scores of the game. So we haven't even gotten to 12 runs scored, but I continue to believe in the Dodgers. Desclafani is a good starting pitcher. I don't mean to detract anything away from him, but he's very bad against left-handed batters for his career. He's got these huge splits. I think he has over 80 points of a split between left-handed batters and right-handed batters. So all of the left-handed batters for the Dodgers, for me, are attractive plays. Seager in particular. But I actually wonder if the market picks up on that, and I wonder if Seager ends up like twice as owned as Trey Turner, which of course then again we would be in on Trey Turner.
All right, let's check out here the outfield. We got Mookie Betts at 3,700, Kyle Tucker, always a good play, 3,700, Luis Robert the same, and then we got a deep dive here. Soler, if he leads off maybe for Atlanta, Chris Bryant, Chris Taylor, Yordan Alvarez, and then how do we not even consider Jock Peterson? I mean, he only needs one at-bat, Davis, to hit his number here, and that's all that's happened. I think Milwaukee is throwing Lauer today, so Peterson doesn't start.
I mean, it kind of feels that way, right? And, you know that I love my guy Jock. He has been, he's been a longtime favorite of mine. Don't love seeing him ride the pine here. But I think that the Chicago White Sox outfielders, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, I think those guys look like really strong options. And Yordan Alvarez, I know that because, you know, Rodon is a left-hander, that you're gonna see really diminished ownership on Yordan Alvarez. But let me tell you this, when you miss on a fastball, it doesn't matter if it's coming with your left hand or your right hand, Yordan Alvarez is powering that ball out of the park. So I really like Alvarez today.
All right, three elimination games in baseball on a Tuesday. This is a special day for sure. 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern. I think selfishly, probably hoping that some of these games go five series, but in the end, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, Milwaukee has just been super disappointing to me at this stage. I mean, unless they bring Burns in and he pitches innings 3 through 9, I think the Braves are moving on with Charlie Moe on the mound today. All right, we'll come back and wrap up this hour. We got plenty more to come on fantasy sports today. We will dive more into fantasy hockey. NHL season begins tonight. George Kurtz will join us. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got the update from Chris coming up at the top of the hour. Davis, at 2 o'clock Eastern in Chicago, we have the White Sox taking on the Houston Astros. It is Lance McCullers against Carlos Rodon. Looking at the lineups today, and they are out. They look pretty similar, I think, than they've looked for the most part in this series. Again, they didn't play yesterday. So, Davis, is this the day the Houston Astros advance? I know there's some extra fire in this thing now with the reliever on the White Sox, Ryan Tepera, calling out the Astros, saying maybe there's still some shenanigans going on. Astros didn't like that very much, of course. Astros put the White Sox away today with Rodon on the mound, or you think they're going back to Houston after today?
I really hope not, because I don't like the Houston Astros at all, and I guess I don't really like the White Sox either. I mean, you know, we got Dusty Baker versus Tony La Russa, so just two big ancient dinosaurs I don't particularly care for. You know, I would imagine that the Astros do probably win today. I mean, the Astros, on the balance of what they have put on paper thus far, they are the best team in the American League, so I can't say it's like unjust if they win. I probably am of the mind that they are cheating, though. We just don't know how they're cheating yet. So the Astros are going to win this game. McCullers, it's a good pitcher. It's going to get done. Not going to be happy about it, but there we go. They're going to win. They're going to win the series, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. You know, it's a shame, because I think that had the White Sox pitching held up the entire year, with Rodon pitching well at the end and Cease pitching well at the end, like had those things, and Keuchel was not even pitching, like had those things happen for them, I think they would have had a really good chance to win this series. But I think that's the part that's really fallen apart. If you're going to get into a slugfest with the Astros, once you get to the seventh inning, you're going to lose. The Astros just have the better pitching at that point. Hendricks is great, of course, in the ninth, but I like Houston better. And I'm shocked that McCullers has pitched as well as he has. Didn't give up a run in the last postseason game. I would imagine inevitably Houston will win the series. Maybe it will be today. Game starts in an hour. Got the update next. Stay on the grid.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more every day.